Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Hebrews 11, 28 is our text for the message this morning. And we'll be going back to the book of Exodus as well in consideration of what their verse is speaking about this morning. I've entitled the message this morning, Faith in God's Plan of Salvation. You know, salvation is something that a lot of people talk about. Being saved or salvation or finding their salvation. Most people believe in some sort of salvation. God has given us the reason that we need salvation in the Bible. And He's also given us the means of that salvation. The problem is that many people have come up with their own way of salvation rather than just taking God at His word and believing God's means of salvation. And they think that their way should be good enough. One person's way should be just as good as another's is probably the thought of many people. God's plan of salvation is simple enough for a child to understand. And yet many people perhaps find it too simple and think, well, no, there must be more to it, and come up with their own means of salvation. But to receive God's salvation takes faith. Do you believe in God's way of salvation? Have you trusted Him and His salvation? What I'm asking this morning is, have you placed your faith in God's salvation? That's what we're going to be speaking about this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 28. It says, through faith he, still speaking of Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith he kept the Passover. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to meet around the Word of God. Thank you for those who have gathered this morning to hear from you. And Lord, that's why we're here. We haven't gathered because we want to hear from man, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear from your word, a message that you would have for us. And so I pray that you speak to us, each one. Lord, that when we would leave here, we would indeed realize that we have met with you and that you have met with us. Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who hasn't yet come to that place where they've received your plan of salvation, received your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day when they would receive that gift, the greatest gift known to mankind. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us each one. For those who know that gift already and are rejoicing it already, may we be refreshed in that, knowing that salvation this morning, and just rejoice and say with the author of Hebrews earlier in this great book, the salvation is a great salvation. And Lord, that we'd realize just how great that salvation is. And so, Lord, I ask you to speak to us each one and minister to us according to our individual needs this morning, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking about Moses here, and obviously some time had passed. We've spoken about Moses since verse 23, when he was hid of his parents when he was born. He was hid for 3 months. We've begun at his birth, and then we've gone a little bit further along there in verse number 24, when he came to years. It was that time when he realized he didn't want to be associated with Egypt, but he wanted to be associated with God and God's people. We've gone beyond that and spoken about how he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he left and went into the desert and was there for 40 years. Now we're talking about coming back into Egypt, and that's of course what he did. He came back into Egypt ready to lead Israel out, because God sent him back to lead his people out of Egypt. After being rejected by Israel earlier in his life, Moses had spent that 40 years in the desert. During that time, he'd gotten married, he'd had children, and now God had appeared to him in the burning bush and said, you need to go back to Egypt and lead my people out. You know the story, how he made excuses and said, I can't speak well, and it won't be right that I do it, and can't you send somebody else? And God said, I'll send your brother with you, and he'll be to you your mouthpiece, as it were. So I'll speak to you, Moses, and you tell your brother what to say, and he will speak for you. Interesting, though, isn't it? When we read the book of Exodus, Moses seems to speak quite well for himself. It doesn't seem that he always communicates through Aaron, but rather he often speaks to Pharaoh himself, and he goes with his brother, but often speaks himself as well as to Israel. But he went back. Here we realize that just prior to what we read this morning, that God had sent plagues upon Egypt. Those plagues had afflicted Egypt. They were supposed to prove God's power to Egypt so that they would let the Israelites go. Every time Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, God says, let my people go. And Moses, when he said that, was the response he got from Pharaoh was, who is God? Why should I let you go? You're our slaves. You're our servants. We don't want to lose you. And so God would send a sign and it would afflict Egypt. And sometimes that sign made the Pharaoh say, okay, you can go. But then he changed his mind as soon as the plague was gone. So 9 plagues have taken place. A great amount of devastation has come upon Egypt. And now it was time for the last plague, which was the slaying of the firstborn in every home in Egypt. In previous plagues, Israel had been automatically spared from the plagues. In other words, the plagues didn't go to Goshen, where Israel was. Egypt was afflicted by the plagues, but Israel was not. But this one was going to be different. This one required faith. And we see here in our text that there was faith expressed in the Passover. And of course, it's an amazing thing how God times everything. When I started preaching these messages through the book of Hebrews, I didn't plan it out to say, well, let me think exactly when are we going to be speaking about the Passover and when is the Passover. But you realize that Tuesday is the Passover and here we are on Sunday and God had a plan, everything worked out. It's very unique how God does that and how God works things out according to His perfect plan. But Moses had to express faith in God's plan. He had to believe and trust God's plan, though it may have seemed unusual. And we'll get to the actual Passover itself in a few minutes. But it was an unusual means of sparing their firstborn. And we may not think much about it, but do you realize the faith that Moses expressed when he went to Pharaoh and said, God says, let my people go. And if you don't, God's going to show you something. I mean, we read it and we know exactly God did exactly what Moses threatened would take place. But when Moses was there, God sent him and said, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go or else. That was a very matter of faith that Moses went. He was trusting that God would do what God said that he would do every time he went. Moses really put his name on the line, didn't he? He put his faith on the line. And so we recognize that he had faith. But this time, it was more than talking to Pharaoh. Moses had to bring God's plan to Israel. He had to bring that plan that God had said, what was the plague that was going to take place and how to be spared from it. He had to not only sell it, as it were, to Egypt, but also to his own people. A people that, yes, should have understood. A people that, yes, should have been really more on board. But you and I know that sometimes it's harder to tell things to people that we know well that should agree and should know better than it is to go to a total stranger about some things. And here Moses had to go and tell Israel that they needed to prepare for this plague. And again, they hadn't had to prepare before because God automatically spared the land of Goshen from the plagues. You read about those plagues that took place in Egypt and it says except for in the land of Goshen. And those things didn't happen. But this time it was going to affect anybody who didn't follow God's plan of salvation. So Moses believed that what God said he would do and the means of deliverance from that plague. You notice in our text it says that through faith he kept the Passover. You say, well, didn't the whole nation keep the Passover? Well, yes, they did, but Moses' faith in particular is expressed here. Though all Israel was to keep the Passover, I believe it was spoken of Moses personally because he had to personally believe it in order to convey that message to his people. If he didn't believe it himself, he wouldn't be able to go to Israel and say, this is what you have to do. He wouldn't be a very convincing messenger if he didn't believe it himself. Through faith, he kept the Passover. He did what God said was necessary to keep the Passover. He had a great responsibility to believe what God was saying and to spread the message. Moses believed that God was going to bring that judgment on Egypt and that by following God's plan, the people would be spared from God's judgment. Moses believed that completely. He believed that fully. This was far more than religion. This wasn't just going through some religious routine, some religious outward display. This was a matter of life and death. This was a matter of true faith. Moses wasn't, as it were, as the saying is often used, playing church. I mean, this was serious. Moses went with that message believing that this was exactly what was going to take place. And if he didn't think that the blood applied to the doorpost would spare them, he wouldn't be a good messenger of that message to his people. You know, we too must have a personal faith. We must have a personal faith, a personal salvation that we have believed in Jesus Christ. We believe in what God has said in His Word as it relates to salvation. If we really don't believe it, we won't make very good messengers to people who we're trying to tell it to. We need to have a personal faith in that salvation that God has provided for us. You see, true Bible Christianity is more than just religion. It's not playing church or going about and doing religious things. It's believing what God says in His Word from our hearts. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone to save us from eternal death. And so with those thoughts in mind, as we read about what took place here, through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the record of this that's just put very briefly there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. The sprinkling of the blood, that lest he that destroyed should pass over to destroy their firstborn. And so we read the full account of that in Exodus chapter number 12. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and execute against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Here is the Passover as God had it here for Israel. We need to see the significance of the Passover and realize that it's significant for us to talk about it today, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And so we're going to relate that Passover to the Lord Jesus Christ and to how it pictures our salvation today. You notice that they were to take a lamb without blemish in verse number 5. The lamb that they were to sacrifice was not just any old lamb. It had to be a fine specimen. It had to be a perfect specimen. Their best. Without blemish means complete, perfect, whole, or undefiled. Not just, "Well, that one's pretty good. It's probably good enough. No, they had to take the best. They had to take a lamb that would have been valuable to them, a lamb that was precious to them, they had to take. It was to be in the first year. It was not to be an old lamb that was ready to die anyway, say, oh, well, we'll just take this one and use it because it's probably going to die tomorrow morning anyway. No, they had to take a male of the first year, specifically, one that was not deformed or ill, but one that was in one that was valued. And you say, why is that so important? Well, remember what we said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. See, John the Baptist said one day, as Jesus was approaching, it says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus was the perfect Lamb. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That lamb pictured the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus was not blemished. Spiritually, he was perfect. That we know, and we'll look at a little bit tonight in Isaiah chapter 53, that physically he wasn't attractive to look upon in that sense, but we know that he was a perfect Lamb of God. Hebrews 4:15 tells us he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was the perfect Lamb. If Jesus had been born a sinner, he couldn't have been our Savior. See, that Lamb was to be without blemish and without spot. Jesus was without blemish and without spot. He was absolutely perfect, else he could not save us. He was in the prime of his earthly life. Jesus didn't live until he was 95 years old and then he was sacrificed or just die a natural death. No, the Bible tells us he was about 33 years old. He was in the prime of his life and his life was taken. Jesus was not ill. He was not physically ready to die. But rather, he was willingly laid down his life for us. And he says that in John chapter 10 and verse 15. He says, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was the only begotten Son of the Father, according to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. He wasn't just another man. He wasn't even an angel. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And that lamb that we just read about that was to be sacrificed for the Passover was a perfect lamb. It was without blemish and without spot. Jesus is seen in the Passover as the spotless Lamb of God. We find also that that lamb's blood was to be shed. In verse number 7, we've read about it in verse number 7, it says that the blood of that lamb was to be shed. They should take the blood and strike it on the doorposts and on the upper door and in the houses wherein they shall eat it. The blood of the lamb was to be spilt. It was to be shed. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Remember the verse we just read a moment ago in 1 Peter 1:19 that His precious blood, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. His own blood. Ephesians says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. See, just as that lamb's blood had to be shed, so Jesus' blood was shed. He said to the disciples, He shared the Last Supper with them. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. I know that it's not in some hymn books. These songs have been taken out of hymn books because people say, we don't want to talk about the blood, but we sing there's power in the blood of the Lamb. We sing about there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We sing, whiter than snow, now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Why? Because there is no other way for us to be cleansed from sin other than by Jesus' precious blood that was shed for us. You see, the blood of the Lamb was shed and Jesus shed His blood so that we might receive the remission of our sins. If Christ had not shed His blood, there would be no cleansing from sin. But He did, and so therefore we can have salvation. But you notice that it said in verse number 7, not only did the blood need to be shed, but the blood needed to be applied. They had to take that blood from that lamb, and they had to take it and with a bunch of hyssop, and they had to put it on the side post of the door and on the lintel of the door, on the top. It had to be applied to the house in order for them to be spared when the angel of death came upon the land of Egypt. And if they failed to apply, though the blood had been shed, if they failed to apply that blood to their house, the firstborn in that house would die. When the angel of death passed over, it was a test of faith, wasn't it? I mean, yes, we've already shed the blood of the Lamb. We've eaten the Lamb. It tasted nice. We enjoyed that. But God said, no, you need to apply the blood to the doorposts of the house. Why? That doesn't make sense. What difference will that make? Well, that's God's plan of salvation. That's what God said had to be done. Then they had to trust what God had said to be done. It must have seemed like an unusual thing, don't you think? This kind of gory thing. They may have thought, why? I don't want to put blood on my doorposts. Well, they were leaving the houses anyways. They were going to be gone the next day. They were going to be headed to the promised land. But that's beside the point. I'm sure they thought it was an unusual thing. But God said that is what needed to be done. And so to apply that blood showed their faith in God's plan of deliverance for that plague. They had to apply it. It was the only way to be passed over was by applying the blood to the doorposts of their home. And I'm thankful as we look in verse number 21, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand. Well, that's the wrong chapter. That won't do us any good to read that one now for this point. But verse 21 says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And notice what it says there. It says in verse number 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. They believed. They said, yes, we will apply the blood to the doorposts. And so therefore, according to the promise of God, they were passed over. The angel of death passed over their house. But here's where faith is expressed in salvation today. You know, a lot of people will acknowledge that Jesus died. I don't think there's many people who would deny the fact that Jesus died on the cross. They say, well, yes, Jesus died. He shed his blood, I suppose. Yes, of course, he had nails in his hand and crown of thorns. And yes, okay, Jesus died. Yes, okay, Jesus shed his blood. But they fail to apply or receive that gift of salvation. See, they fail to apply the remedy of their sin that God has provided. The only way to avoid God's judgment and our sin for all of eternity is to apply the blood of Christ by faith. Many will accept the generalities, won't they? Oh yeah, we're all sinners. Yeah, none of us are perfect. We're all that way. Oh yeah, Jesus died for everybody. Yeah, Jesus died for us all. But saving faith, Bible faith, that results in the salvation that God has provided says, I'm a sinner. I am. Not just we, me. I am one. I've done things wrong. I've offended a holy, righteous God, and I'm not worthy to stand in His sight. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross not just for everybody, but He died for me. I'm part of that whosoever. I'm part of that everybody, and Jesus died for me. And I believe that Jesus died for me. See, salvation is not automatically applied because Jesus died. That salvation needs to be applied by faith, by saying, yes, that's me, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. And He's the only way. The Philippian jailer fell down on his knees before Paul and Silas and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. They said, you need to believe that Jesus died for you. In Romans chapter 10, we find that the Bible tells us that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, it takes faith to say, yes, God, I believe Jesus died for me. Jesus, please save me. And call upon the name of the Lord. It's applying the blood, as it were, to our lives. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must, I must, you must confess your sin and believe in Jesus Christ for yourself. See, the blood needed to be applied. Have you applied Christ's blood to your soul? Have you believed in Jesus? Is there a time you look back in your life and say, yes, I came to that place where I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I needed a Savior and I believed that Jesus was the only one who could save me and I asked Him and He did. That's what they had to do. They had to apply the blood. And praise God that those who applied the blood would be spared and were spared from death. See, the name of the Passover is because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Passover. When God saw the blood applied to the doorpost, He said to the angel of death, pass over them. Don't execute judgment in that home. Pass over. The lamb has already had its blood shed. The blood has been applied. Where the blood was not applied, death came, according to verses 29 and 30. And may I remind you today that those who are saved, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who have faith in God's plan of salvation are passed over in Judgment Day. Isn't it a great thing to know that you're going to be passed over? That God's going to say, yes, they can come into heaven. They won't be cast into hell as they deserve because they've received my Son. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, because you believed in the Savior. It's the only way to be passed over, is by believing in Jesus. The only way. There's no other way. It's not about being religious. It's not about silver and gold. It's not about, well, if I put enough money in the offering plate. It's not about if I do enough good things. It's about believing in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Only those whose names are written in the book of life were allowed into heaven and spared God's judgment, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15. Our names are written in that book because we believe in Jesus Christ, because we apply the blood to our soul. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Wow, what a great promise. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's almost the Passover, isn't it? Passed from death to life. How? By hearing God's word and believing in Jesus Christ. Again, John 3:16, that very familiar verse, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you applied the blood? If so, praise God, you'll be spared the judgment of God. If not, would you today apply the blood to your soul so that you'll be passed over in the day of judgment and look forward to heaven? By faith, Moses partook of the Passover. And if we, by faith, will trust in the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, we too will be passed over of God's judgment. We find that Passover feast was to be a memorial. It was to be carried on throughout their generations. So there was only one time where the angel of death was to pass over. They were to look back and remember that Passover time. And they were to do it perpetually in their generations, as we've already read in verse number 14. They were to have a memorial of that. They were to eat unleavened bread, and they were to have that memorial every year. They were to celebrate it year after year after year after year. It was not to be taken lightly, but they were to purge their homes of leaven every year. It would give a testimony to their children of what God had done, he says in verse 26, then 27, when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. It was a memorial. They were never to forget what God had done for them that day. Never forget it. They were to remember it every year. They were to look back and say, God spared us. God delivered us out of Egypt. And this Tuesday is the Passover. And there'll be Israelites all over the world, Jewish people all over the world. You know what they'll be doing? They'll be celebrating the Passover. I deal with some of them in my business, and I know they're closed. Their businesses are closed. They're celebrating the Passover. They are remembering what God did way back there in Egypt so many thousands of years ago. And you know, for us as believers, even tonight we'll be remembering what Jesus did by memorial of what God gave Christians to remember what Jesus did. And that is the Lord's Supper. We won't take the time to look at it. We'll look at those verses tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But we are not carrying on the Passover or transferring the Passover into the Lord's Supper. But we do. Jesus gave us that memorial feast that he said, I want you to commemorate that. I want you to remember what I did for you. I never want you to forget the price that was paid for your salvation. I want you to remember and to eat that bread and drink that cup in remembrance of me until I come again. And so 2,000 years later, here we are in Cambridge, Ontario, and tonight, if the Lord doesn't come back this afternoon, we'll meet together, God willing, and meet together and say, Lord, thank you for coming 2,000 years ago. Thanks for being my Passover lamb. Thanks for what you did for me in providing my salvation. Thank you for your perfect body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. And what a joyous time that is to remember. Well, it's never to become a mere habit. But just as with Israel, it must always be a special time. So it needs to be a special time in the life of believers to meet together around the Lord's table. What a beautiful yet somber remembrance it is for us. Again, will you join us tonight as we do that? Remembering what Jesus did in providing our salvation. And we all need salvation. There's not a person that's ever lived save the Lord himself upon the face of the earth that hasn't needed salvation. Adam and Eve sinned and death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. We all need salvation. God has told us the reason we need it. He's provided the means of it. He said how you may receive it, just by simple faith. By confessing your sin and believing in Jesus Christ. The question I ask is, are you saved? You know, it's the only way to be passed over in God's day of judgment is by believing in Jesus Christ, by personally receiving His salvation for you. Jesus shed His blood so that you could have salvation. Salvation is not about religion. It's about believing in Jesus and what He's done for you. If you've never received Him, I challenge you, I encourage you, I beg you to be saved today. Christian, if you have believed, praise God. What a blessing to know that we are saved. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus took our place. But you may know somebody who isn't saved. They need you to tell them about our Passover lamb. Just like Moses had to go to Israel and say, the angel of death is coming. Here's how you get prepared for it. And that's our responsibility. It's a sober responsibility. It's a solemn responsibility. But if we believe it for ourselves, we need to get out there with the message and share it. We want others to know. Don't forget how special that salvation is. Thank God every day for your salvation. Rejoice in what God has done for you, what Jesus has provided for you. And even tonight, come and celebrate your faith in that and rejoice in what Jesus has done for you by partaking of the Lord's table this evening. See, the question is, have you placed your faith in God's salvation? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this message and for this time. Thank you for the example of the Passover. Lord, I'm thankful we don't live in a day where we have to perform sacrifices today. I'm thankful that we don't have to take a lamb and shed its blood and physically apply that blood to the doorpost of our home to be passed over, because Jesus already did that. He already died upon the cross, and He was our Passover lamb. He shed His blood, willingly gave His life, that we may have eternal life. Lord, we're so thankful for that today. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's never applied that salvation, never received Jesus as their Savior, that today that you speak to their hearts, Lord, that they would receive that salvation. So lovingly provided, so carefully provided, so willingly offered to be received by faith. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know that salvation, may they be saved today. Lord, for those who know it, Lord, who know your salvation, those who've received it, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be thankful for it, to rejoice in it, to share it, to tell others about it. For Lord, there's no other way to avoid your impending judgment upon us individually, save by applying the blood to our souls, receiving that sacrifice that you provided for us by faith. So Lord, help us, I pray, to realize that we have a responsibility as believers to share that message. For your word tells us that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, that means we have a big job to do. We have a lot of people to tell. Help us to be faithful to do it. Lord, speak to our hearts, I ask now in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, let me ask you, just between you and the Lord this morning, to share your testimony. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Was there a time and a place in your life where you received Jesus Christ? You personally, individually, said, God, I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus died for me and I receive your salvation, Lord. And whether that be a long time ago or just recently, you say, yes, preacher, I can remember a time when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that He is mine. And that when I stand before God, He will pass over me with His judgment because I've received Jesus Christ. I'm saved. So that's your testimony. Would you just raise your hand as a testimony of that this morning? I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. Many hands this morning. Perhaps all hands, but perhaps you could not raise your hand. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't know. I couldn't raise my hand then. I'm not sure. But I'd like to know. I'd like to know that when I stand before God, that He will pass over me with His judgment and welcome me rather into heaven because I've received Jesus Christ. Preacher, I'm not sure that I've done that yet, but I'd like to. Would you pray for me that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Anyone like that this morning? Let me pray for you today. Christian, we've been left with a challenge this morning that as Moses went back and he went to this people, he went to the people of Israel and he said, you need to do this. You need to apply the blood to your doorpost. It's the only way. It's the only way. We have a responsibility. May God help us to be challenged this morning to get the gospel to people who are dying without Jesus Christ every day, to share that message with them, that they too would have the same hope that we have. Father, I pray you'd help us as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning. Or perhaps there's decisions that we need to make in our life. I pray you'd help us to make those decisions. Lord, if there be anyone, though no one raised their hand to indicate it, that isn't sure of heaven, I pray that today they would call upon you. Lord, it's such a simple means of salvation that you provided, and I pray that none would go without it that have heard that message of salvation. Lord, for us as believers again, help us, I pray, to be challenged to take the message of salvation to this world in which we live. Those who we live beside, work beside, those who we live with, our family, our friends, our neighbors, Lord, help us, I pray, to realize there's people all over the world that need the gospel, that we would be willing to share that message. And Lord, above all, may we rejoice in our salvation today and praise you for that which you provided for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.